Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York. I'm Pharrell with Carver. I'm Avi. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Mafia, you know, Thursday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, make way for what's next when CBS Sports Network brings you some intense WNBA action as the Indiana Fever clash with the Dallas Wings on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Carver High told me to do the player of the week. It's brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Marcus Semien of the Oakland A's, who hit 419 last week with two doubles, two home runs, nine RBIs, and seven runs scored. Marcus Semien, the player of the week, brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back. When it comes to the safety and industrial supplies to keep your facility running, get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news. You can save money. Just go to Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's hook up with our friend Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe. Bob, I always feel like if Marchand or Bergeron get on the board in any capacity at all, whether dishing or finishing, this Bruins team is very hard to beat. Like Sunday night, Marchand gets the power play goal. They're off and running.
Well, the big thing about this very interesting seventh game is that it's not a normal seventh game. The home team should be favored by that virtue, yes. But the Blues are a team that has played markedly better on the road than home. It just is. You have to give them a shot there. And then they have the official record of the officiating. The Blues are a very physical team, and when they are allowed to play physically and not play a punishment for it, and by the rules of the 2019, they're very tough to beat. When they are refereed as if it's 2019, then they put teams on a penalty, and the Bruins are very been a terrific on the power play, and so we need to know who's going to referee and how they're going to referee the game. It really is a very big deal, more than normal. I mean, you always say, well, you know, the refereeing is capricious, but it's really important in this game. The Bruins need a very tight, a tightly called game, and the Blues would prefer a very loosely called game that will be more like the 1974 game.
Who do you, feel more confident about in goal in this stressful situation, Rask or Binnington? Binnington's had a couple of really bad games.
Binnington has had great moments, and as a rookie who is, they wouldn't be there without him playing very, very well. But Rask has been more consistent. I'm not saying that Binnington is going to be terrible or anything like that. But if you to your question, common sense should tell you that Rask is a little more reliable than Binnington. But that is not to denigrate Binnington. He's been very good, but he has had some letdowns, and really Rask hasn't had very many letdowns in the playoffs.
So, Bob Ryan with the Boston Globe, you know, what was it, 35 years when the Celtics beat the Lakers in a Game 7 at the Garden? It's been a while since a delicious Game 7 in Boston.
True. Just the circumstance, the Celtics won in Game 6 at home in 08, and the Bruins won in Game 7 on the road in Vancouver in 2011. So we haven't had a Game 7 here since 1984. When the Celtics beat the Lakers. And so we're looking forward to that.
I mean, it's just as good as it gets. I think it's fantastic for the league. I think it's great for Boston fans. If you're a kid, you know the story. If you're like a kid growing up in the last, whatever it is, 15 years in Boston, you've seen a lot of parades and a lot of big games and a lot of championships. It's really been crazy what's happened in Boston in sports over the last couple of decades.
That's true. It really makes no sense. The rest of the country is very envious of us, and they should be. We have no control over this. It's just been a phenomenal run, led by the Patriots. But all four teams have won. We are the only city in North America that has had all four of the major teams win. They all did it within 1 7-year period. In fact, from like 2004 to 2011, it's ridiculous, and we're on the verge of yet another. And I don't, you know how it goes. People aren't truly appreciative. They just aren't. They'll never really appreciate how good and lucky this is. But America's not rooting for us. We know that much.
Do you think the Kyrie Irving experiment there was a failure?
Yeah, well, it didn't work in terms of winning a championship or going deep into the playoffs, no. Kyrie is a very talented person. I don't want to put all the blame on him. Some of the people that needed to react to what was going on better. But it didn't work, no. So, yes, the answer is sure. They thought they'd go farther than they did and with Kyrie.
So how is what are you hearing about Big Poppy now that he's in Boston? Has there been news today of any relevance?
That there was a second operation. And, of course, people always tell you the operation was successful. It's going to be a long, difficult road because that bullet passed through. It had effect on his intestines, his colon, his gallbladder. It was a very serious result, and it's not going to be easy for him to recover. But they flew to Boston in the hopes that Boston is such a medical mecca, and that no offense to the Dominican, but they just felt that they could get better and more comprehensive treatment here.
So the Red Sox season, against good teams, they've failed miserably, but they're still, I mean, I know they're 8 out, but they're a game over. It's not the worst thing in the world. What do you think the problem is with the ball club?
It's a little bit of everything. They haven't played as well as they can, and they're very fortunate in that they're still a wild card. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to be the winner. But the wild card is available, and they're going to be in a multi-team race for the wild card, and that's the way it's going to be. But it's not one thing. It's everything. It's not just the bullpen. It's not it's the fact is that they just haven't played well. And but people are harping on the bullpen and the fact that they let Kimball go and really never identified a closer. Matt Barnes blew another game the other night. And they're pointing their finger there. But they just really have not played as well as they can.
So, Bob Ryan with us, Boston Globe. Brady, going to go at it again, coming off a Super Bowl, no Gronk. Everyone keeps, we're here in New York. I hear all the time that it's, their window's closing, and I always... laugh. I always laugh, just like you just did. I always laugh. I will never stop believing that they're not the team to beat until that guy's doing something else.
Well, the thing about them in the Brady Belichick era is that they have adapted and they can win different ways. And now the strength will not be going to Gronk as a reliable third down guy at all. Obviously, it's going to be other areas. They have a very deep core of running backs. If they can stay reasonably healthy, that's going to be a very big source of offense, and it's not going to be Gronk. It's not going to be the tight end. We don't even know who the tight end is going to be. They have Lacoste might be the tight end. Who knows? But Brady, let's look at it this way: if Brady were to deteriorate 10% from what he was at age 41 last year, he'd still be a top 10 quarterback. If he were to deteriorate 10% more the following year, he would be a top 15 quarterback. You can win with that level of quarterbacking. And the fact is, you don't have to be the best; you have to be good enough. And so they're very good hands with Brady as quarterback.
And Belichick running everything—it's just been incredible what they've done. Let me go back real quick, lastly, to the Celtics of what they're going to do. And then, obviously, I saw your piece on Havlicek when he passed. Just your thoughts on his greatness.
Well, first of all, the Patriots, the Celtics. Danny Ainge is an aggressive general manager. I think I said often the most fearless general manager. They have to wait, though, to see what Irving's going to do. We assume he's going to go and exercise his free agent right. Then they have to decide if they want to keep Terry Rozier or not. And I would hope they would. He's a restricted free agent who did not play well last year. He did not react well to having Irving around. But without Irving, he might be able to go back to where he was a year ago today. John Havlicek was one of the handful of greatest players of all time and also a wonderful human being. I was privileged as a 23-year-old rookie writer to meet John Havlicek in his prime and learn a lot of basketball and the NBA basketball from John Havlicek. One of my I'm very proprietary and very fond of John Havlicek. There was a period of time from roughly 1969 till 1974 when, as Jerry West and Oscar Robertson aged, John Havlicek was the best player in the league, non-center. There was centers. I always separate those two when centers matter. He was the best non-center in the league, and that is an amazing distinction.
So, overtime question, two quick ones. Do the Bruins win? And first of all, do you think they'll win the seventh game?
I do. I have confidence that they'll win. Once again, the refereeing is crucial, but you have to like them at home. And I do think they'll win, but it's been a terrific Stanley Cup playoffs in general terms.
And who wins the Game 6 and Oracle between the Warriors and Raptors?
Well, the Raptors had a chance. They had them almost beaten but couldn't get the job done. They've given life now to the Warriors, but I think Kawhi Leonard, who had that great 10-point run that should have won it for them, will find a way. I still think they're going to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. Bob Ryan, the one and only. Thanks so much. Great stuff tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe with us on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. James in Philadelphia, you're on CBS Sports Radio. James, yeah, you're on.
Oh, I didn't hear James. What's up, baby? How you doing?
Hey, dude.
All right, well, as a quarter-century Knicks fan, I've been snorting tequila, so just save it. Give it to the rest of the bar.
Right.
All right, so now we're at the point, as a Knicks franchise, that if we even think about, I lived through the McDyche, the Mello, the Stoudemire, and now if we even think of signing an all-star player, here we go. Like, down he goes. Down he goes.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know what to say other than, it really is crazy. There's talk. I was reading this stuff about, there were 20 players that they had stats for. I was reading this in this article today that Carver Hyde gave me from this Kevin Pelton guy at ESPN about 20 guys that they had stats for their season of their Achilles injury, and the following year, four of the 20 performed better and returned, better than projected based on their pre-injury stats. So on average, the players have performed, however, for 8% worse than projected in coming back from Achilles ruptures. And, they're saying that now it's getting better. Over the last decade, the figure's gone from 8% to 6.5%, so they think the rehab is better, the, procedural factor of how they go about PT, and 3 out of 11 players have beaten their projections, which is not good. 3 out of 11 is not good, if you ask me. So they believe that, a guy like Rudy Gay did it. I mean, he came back and he posted a career-best 58% shooting percentage this year at age 32. So everyone knows that Rudy Gay can flat-out score, right? That's what he does. He's just a guy gets a ball, puts it in the hole. And you know what he reminds me of? Like, I think Rudy Gay's better, but Michael Beasley was that way. You know what I mean? Just got the ball and scored. That's what that guy did. That was his job, scoring. And Durant's best days are allegedly, they say, behind him. I don't know if I believe that. This is before the injury. This guy's saying that his best days were behind him, that he's going to be 31 prior to the next season. Still, they applied the 6.5% decrease to his stats. It would leave him as still one of the league's best players, if perhaps no longer, it says here, as the single best player in the league. You know, I think all that is crazy to hear all this stuff about, you know, they're going to be 6.5% worse, 8% worse, whatever. Bottom line is this, is that I believe that players come back from this injury are never the same. Right? That's it. That's just all there is to it. You know, 3 out of 11 is not good, right? You know, drop of 6.5% in your numbers, that's not good. None of it's good, right? So what I didn't like was actually, to be honest with you, is hearing Mitch tell me that this guy would sign for 4 years and play for three. So you're going to pay him $38 million to not play. I mean, that makes me sick to my stomach. So he's going to miss the whole year. And now there's some people saying, you know, it's 7.5 month recovery. There's no way, I believe, a 31-year-old guy will come back from an Achilles tear in 7.5 months. Now, your boy Boogie Cousins, they literally brought him back 1 week from a year. 1 week under a year. I've heard some of the best guys in the league that have done it, that have tore their Achilles, that have, you know, in my opinion, you know, literally, I saw a couple of guys that I was looking at that were actually, you know, came back. Brandon Jennings, who I believe is, you know, Brandon Jennings is a flat-out player. That guy can flat-out score, and he's fast, the whole deal. Brandon Jennings did a lot of his buckets on speed, right? He'd lose you, get space, and score on you. He also didn't return until 11 months after he tore his Achilles. So they believe that the Warriors, it sounds like to me, that they believe, from what I'm hearing, that the long-term plan is smarter for him in that not 7.5 months. That's not happening. I don't believe that for 1 minute. 11 months, I don't believe. 12 months, I do believe. And the longer the approach, the safer the approach. Now, this guy just came back after a month of tearing his calf, and look what happened. So why would they, in God's name, let this guy come back anytime before 11 months, if you ask me, is insanity.
Especially if you're in two of the most prominent situations of where he's probably going to go, whether it's the Warriors or the Knicks. If you're the Warriors, you have him for 4 years after this, well, then you're still going to be good with Klay and Draymond and Curry. So you're not going to need to rush him back. You're going to have him take him time. And if you're the Knicks and you have him for those 4 years, you're saying, we need him to be good for the other three. The last thing we're going to do is rush him back. The season's probably going to be lost by that point if you go and sign him, and that's where all your salary cap money goes. So you're not going to rush him back to not make the playoffs.
So
you're going to say, sit out for the whole year. We'll see you next year.
So do you draft R.J. Barrett and then try to get another star player? Because there's talk of Kemba Walker. If the Hornets don't want him, the Knicks do. And would you sign him and then go with R.J. Barrett and Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving, someone like that? Let's face facts. You've got to get a good player. Otherwise, your entire season next year is a wash again. They will lose like no one's business, in my opinion, with Kevin Knox and, you know, R.J. Barrett and then Moutier they'll keep. Dennis Smith they'll keep. They're not trading. I don't believe for 1 minute. Do you actually believe for 1 minute they're getting Anthony Davis?
No, they don't have enough.
I think the Lakers and Celtics have a better chance.
Yeah, they don't have enough to do it. Here's the other thing you have to remember. If it is the Knicks that end up signing him, it's not 12 months. He's actually going to get 15 or 16. Are the Knicks going to be playing next June? Probably not.
No.
So he's going to get 15 or 16 months. He's going to have a whole summer on top of that. He won't play again until October.
November.
October, November of 2020. So he's going to have almost a year and a half that he's going to have to get ready. And I think that that's even better. There's going to be no pressure to rush back because the Knicks aren't going to be playing deep into the playoffs. I think that those are things that also are going to be considered by everybody. And if I'm the Knicks, I could absolutely see the Knicks doing this. This is something that I could – that this is so Nick.
Does that make you sick, though?
Look, it is what it is. This is the – you know, what you might have to do to get your hands on a player like this. And they will sign somebody else, too. Let's say that this another player knows that they
He'll
have Durant.
He'll be 32 then when he plays.
Okay, so you're going to have to get three great years out of him. You got to hope you're going to get 3 great years out of him. And that's him with a year and a half off.
But pay him for 4.
But he's going to have a year and a half off.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, he's going to have that too.
Do you believe, Mafia, that he's going to come back and be in whatever it is, 15 months because of the extra time, June, July, August, September, October, November. It's 5 full months over June till they play that matters. I wouldn't play him in a preseason game if you paid me. I would just get him back for November 1st, whatever it is, moving forward. Do you believe that that's what's going to happen, and that it's smart for them to just eat the year?
That is, if they sign him, that's what's going to happen. They're not going to rush him back, and that's the smartest thing for them to do, although it's a big risk because, yes, he is one of the best, if not the best players in the league, but like you said, he's going to be 32 at that point. He's had injury history, so it's not like this is the first time the guy's gone down and say, okay, it was a fluke. You know, he should be fine in the last 3 years of the contract. He could turn to Kobe and be hurt every year because that's how his body's been so far. The one advantage he has over a guy like Kobe or some of these other guys trying to come back from his injury is he's not necessarily a guy who – he has that quick burst ability and he uses that, but his big advantage on everybody that he plays against is that size. And not that he's a big man, you know, going and posting up, but that he's got guards guarding him or small forwards and he's still 6'10" and can shoot over them. That's the big thing that's going to be, you know, easier on the comeback for him is that he just has to use that jump shot. He doesn't have to drive past guys and dunk. He doesn't have to have some, you know, 8-7-footer, 300 pounds pounding on him and his Achilles. He just has to shoot jump shots. So that'll hopefully help him out. But it's still a risk. He's going to be older, and he's got injury history.
There's no doubt that guy's got injury history now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He had the Frank injury. I mean, he's had the foot.
He's had some of the worst ones, the feet, the legs, like all the things that he needs the most.
I'm telling you, his wheels are going.
The back's the only thing that hasn't gone yet. That's next on the list.
I mean, honestly, this guy's wheels have been a problem. They're as bad as mine.
This sets up perfectly for Nick to sign this guy. It sets up perfectly.
Get the wounded superstar, the
old
man.
And if they're still going to tell him that we're going to pay you everything, he will probably still do what he said he was going to
do. What do you think of Durant and what's going to happen with Durant? Call the show, 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Hoops and hockey almost toast. Game 7 tomorrow night in Boston on the hockey side. Game 6 Thursday night at Oracle in the East Bay. What to do in the meantime? Pounce on baseball. Every game, every play, every day, even MMA and boxing. We're number one. PharrellOnTheBench.com. The best picks. The best price, buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com is hot. Sign up today, 855-212-4CBS. 4227 is the number to get on the bench. Your Durant calls now. Tacoma Mike, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Pharrell, thanks for taking my call. Hey, yeah. I'm going to become with Durant from a different point of view. You know, we lost our basketball team, and he was one of the next to last draft choices that we had.
Right.
And a curse is on Oklahoma forever. They will never win a championship while they're in that town, that state. What our politicians and what they did with him is another story. But Durant, he comes up here and shows the colors of the Sonics. He wears the Sonics colors. If you see him every now and then on his on his Instagram or whatever, but he comes up here and does everything that has to do with basketball for charity. And this guy is a different person. I never met him. All I can say is actions speak louder than words for us up here. And he's always been behind trying to get us another team, which is, don't ask me why we don't. Well, what are we, 13th or 14th? In TV. I mean, come on. But anyway, this man is a good man. I'm hoping and that we get another basketball team. And if anything, he can at least retire and play the last 2 years with us. I mean, Carter played till he was 42. And what medical can do now with injuries, this guy will be back. And if not better than others, he's going to be a year and a half older, but he's going to be a year and a half wiser, too. And the game's going to be.
Listen, stop. Just stop. Just stop. All right, I get it. You're right. Congratulations. I don't even want to. There's people laughing in here at you, just so you know. You're saying things like that make no sense. Honestly, like, he's going to be a year and a half older. He's gonna play till he's 42. He's going to. Listen. I mean, this is simple, okay? I don't know how many ways you can say this. Guys, he's going to make a ton of money. We know that. All right? But saying that he's going to be better than ever is insanity. Okay? You blow out your Achilles, you're never the same. There's no one. I mean, the numbers just do not lie. Now, I still think he's got good years left in his tank, for sure, right? I get it. But you're talking about, first of all, that Oklahoma City's to blame for your team losing, you know, the city. They lost, you know, Seattle. I get it. But it's not Oklahoma's fault that, you know, no one in Oklahoma City's to blame that, you know, you lost your basketball team. Do I think that there's a chance that they can get basketball back in Seattle? Yes. I believe that, you know, you got the NHL there now. And that's a huge positive. And I think that I believe Seattle and Las Vegas are the, you know, prime spots, if you ask me, for, you know, either relocation or a new team. So I believe Vegas will eventually get an NBA team because they got everything else now. And I think that it's inevitable. And I believe that they'll get baseball as well at some point in our lifetime if you're still around. Let's say in the next 20 years, I think that even less, maybe 10 years, I think that that could happen. Because I think that everyone's starting to see the Vegas potential for everything. Not only just teams, but, you know, Super Bowls, World Series, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. They've already had that there. This is just an incredible market for pro sports, right? That's been proven already. And no one believed that it would ever happen because everybody was so tabooed on gambling, right? But Vegas is hot, and it's a lot hotter than Seattle, right? But I think it's great, Carver High, that they got a team, NHL, in Seattle, and I think it'll go a long way, believe it or not, in people licking their chops about the possibilities of bringing the NBA back to Seattle.
Yeah, it absolutely will. And I think that one day it will happen. I don't know when, but I think that one day it eventually will happen.
He said that he thinks that this guy will be playing in Seattle, and when he's 42,
I think that that's a little too
you're high.
Too much.
Isn't
I mean, like we
high.
Said, 30 now, gonna miss next year.
Call me in 10 years when he's playing for the Seattle
look,
Sonics.
You got,
and
I know
he's 40 years old.
And listen, I know that we brought up Vince Carter. I mean, Vince Carter. I get he's gonna play another year here. I mean, he's a freak. I mean,
and he never had these injuries,
right? So. Every player is different. It's just the way that it is.
I don't believe this guy's playing that long with the wheels he's got. He's already got bad wheels. So it ain't going to get any better when you get older. When he's 36, he's probably barely going to be able to walk into the arena.
Not only that, to play that long to that age, like you have to have a different mindset. Like Carter just loves the game so much, he doesn't care like what he can contribute. He just wants to contribute. That's not, to me, what Kevin Durant is. Kevin Durant, I think, when he starts losing his superstar ability – I don't think he's going to want to hang around to be a journeyman, to be a guy off the bench. I think once he's no longer the star and can't light everybody up, he's going to say, you know what? I'm done. I got these businesses. I'm going to go run them.
Yeah, I believe that, too. I don't believe for 1 minute that guy's playing until he's 42. Jay and Boca.
Hey, Scotty. These last 2 years are going to completely change the way everyone plays basketball. You had Kawhi in San Antonio, and he hurt himself. And, you know, they had that problem with him. You know, people wanted him to come back faster.
Right.
He goes up to Toronto. They gauged his games. He missed 22 games this year. You could have Carver look it up.
Yeah.
And Durant played over 75 games. And, you know, everyone's looking at them, you know, looking at him on the floor. And now they're saying that that's what teams are going to have to do. They're going to have to control you know, their appearances, and, you know, it would just make sense instead of playing 100 games a season, if you go all the way, is NBA's too stupid not to bring it down to 60 games. So, you know, ticket holders could always see the superstars.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard, but I don't believe they'll ever eliminate 20 games from their money-making pit. I mean, just so you're clear, The NBA and NHL makes all of their money on 82 games. They make their money, their sponsorships, their deal, their partnerships, their money, their arenas, their concessions, their marketing. Everything is their you know, winter classics and outdoor series. Everything is planned out year after year, and it always ends before June 15th or whatever, and that's how it's going to work. I don't see, you know, all these people talking about shortening the NBA season and NHL season. I don't believe they'll do it because they have to have the model that makes them all their money. Now, if they ever do it, like, I'm literally convinced it would be, like, literally, you know, maximum, literally, of 10 games. I could never see them dropping 20 money-making dates. They make money even when they have a crappy night in the league. They make money in arenas everywhere, even when it's a crappy night, like a Wednesday night and nobody's at the arena in Atlanta or wherever, they're still making money.
They are never taking games off the schedule. Just not. It's not happening. It sounds nice. It sounds, you know, is the season,
maybe preseason games.
Is the season too long? Yeah, it probably is. In all these sports, you can look at the season as too long, except maybe the NFL.
The NFL wants to play 18
games. And they want to play more. So, but they're never taking money out of their pocket. I mean, you took, let's say you took 7 games away and you played 75 games. That's still 7 dates, you know, that's still dates that you're taking away. That's
millions.
Money. It's millions of dollars. It's never happening.
How do you think they pay these players?
And this has only
started.
It's not
growing on
trees. This whole stuff about guys resting and doing all this, we've been through this. We've thrown this one around for, you know, the last couple of years. This didn't go on forever. I mean, 70s, 80s, 90s, these guys all played 80 games. They played 80, 82 games a year. This all started a few years ago when, you know, Pop started reinventing the wheel and saying, well, this guy's not playing there,
tanking,
and this guy's not playing.
Resting.
Now, look, if you get down to an end of the season, you're comfortably in the playoffs, I got no problem resting guys, getting ready for the playoffs. You're playing maybe 3 and 4 nights, you know, do it at home so that you're not, you know, like he does make a good point. I'm always very, you know, big about if LeBron's going to, you know, Memphis once out of the whole year, don't sit him in that game. You know, just that stuff bothers me. If you
I
are
agree.
Going to sit these guys, sit him at home. But sitting guys 20 games out of the year? No, I'm sorry. That I'm not with. You want to, if the guy misses a couple games a year for rest, but 20? No, absolutely not. This is the NBA. You play 82 games. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, it is what it is. You see anybody crying back in the 70s, 80s, 90s? Now all of a sudden these guys are just so soft. It's unbelievable. They have to have their vacations and their time off. It's unbelievable. They're prima donnas. Jacob in Tennessee.
Hey, how you doing? Pour me a cold one.
Get him a beverage.
Hey, so I just think the deal with Durant is it's not going to affect him financially at all. Like, it's worth a gamble that he'll come back close to as good as he was at some point. Like, it's worth, you know, they'll give him the 5-year, 6, whatever it is, max contract, whatever he wants, whether that's New York, Golden State, or I'm sure there's a lot of other teams that give him that money too. And, I mean, it sucks for him. I agree. Probably not going to be as good as he was. And, yeah, I mean, it's just going to have a huge effect on him. But as far as money goes, like, he's going to be just fine. Like, maybe it'll hurt him if he's, like, coming up on some endorsement deals sometime soon. But as far as the GMs across the league, I don't think anybody's going to second-guess themselves about trying to get him on their team.
You know, look, it's simple. I don't think for 1 minute this guy's not going to get his money. He's going to get a deal. He's going to get 4 years. He's going to get the most money. That's all there is to it. And he's going to be out for a year. I mean, this isn't really that hard to figure out, is it? It's a question of, are the Knicks going to give him the deal? Yes, they are. And then does he want to play for the Knicks? Is it all true? Is it a done deal? June 29th, we'll know, right? June 30th, he has to make his mind up, and that'll be that. And then we'll find out. And then if it is the Knicks, you're going to wait 15 months is what you're going to wait, which is – I have to say, it's disastrous. It is absolute disastrous. Now, if you got that in your bloodstream that you can sit and wait 16 months for this guy, then have at it. Because I know I've been waiting 20 years, okay? So I guess what's another year? I've been waiting 20 years for them to break out of this suckville they're in.
And you'll actually know he's on your team.
And you know he's on your team. But the bottom line is, look, they had a couple of good years, whatever it was, you know, what was it, 94, 99, whatever it is, and then the year with Melo with the 54 wins. But they have essentially been atrocious for 20 years. And, you know, they waited for this summer literally for years now. We've waited for this summer. And then now it's already been ruined. So, I mean, even if they get him, I mean, what is there going to be? Like, is anyone even going to pop a champagne bottle Seriously, because the guy's not going to play for 16 months. What, are you going to have a celebration?
They will around here.
Yeah, I don't buy that. Like, it'll be like, well, this is great. I'll see you in a year and a half. Oh, my God. And then what? We got to listen to these local guys around here talk about what's going to happen in 2021. Shut up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to listen to the, in 12 months and 10 months and 8 months, 6 months. I mean, it is just going to be the most annoying thing ever, right? They'll never stop talking about this guy's rehab. I've been through PT before. It sucks, okay? There's nothing delicious about it. There's nothing entertaining about it. There's nothing to say about it. It's no fun at all. Ask anyone. Ask Boogie. He did it. It's a nightmare. It's grueling. It's torture. It's not fun at all. There's nothing news-related about it. What are they going to tell you? He's getting better slowly but surely, one day at a time? Are they going to give you every cliche in the book? Of course they are. Now, listen. If you're on hold, don't give up. I want to hear your Durant comments. If you've got a thought on Durant, the Knicks, the Clippers, whoever it is, the Warriors, is he going to stay? And what do you think of Game 6 Thursday at Oracle? Who's going to win? Can the Warriors win without Durant? He was lighting it up, three threes in that game, and then got injured again. So do you think Boogie can have a good game again? Because he came up big with 14. Who's going to win Thursday? And talk about Durant. Call the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.